Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. This is a passage of scripture that we reference, we quote, we read portions of time and time again. But I want us to just look for a very few minutes at verses 7 to 10 and consider the proclamation of the Apostle Paul after the Lord was pleased to cross his path in mercy and made him to be honest about himself. I'm trying to think which preacher it was that made the statement. He said, God doesn't send honest people to hell. He makes them honest. Makes them to be honest about themselves, about who the Lord is. The Apostle Paul, it said in verses 4 to 6, when he got to talking about men that brag in themselves in what they've done for the Lord, he said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, he said, I'm more. Paul said, if people that brag think that they've really done something for the Lord, that they have, I mean, they're really faithful. Oh, all these, you know, about that, you know, that brother, there was a prodigal, and then the brother that didn't leave after the prodigal son came back, and that other brother heard all the music and hoopla, and he asked one of the servants, he says, what's going on? He says, well, your brother's back. And told his dad after he realized, he wouldn't even go in. Just didn't want to go and didn't just separate himself. His father told him, he said, all I've got's yours. That older brother told him, he said, I've always been faithful. I never did all that stuff that my brother did. But now when he comes back, you kill the fatted calf. And Paul was saying, if you thought you had reason to be confident, he said, I had more than you ever did. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. I was circumcised on the exact day according to the law. He said, I wasn't like Ishmael, circumcised as a teenager. He said, I wasn't that. He said, I was circumcised, I was of the stock of Israel. He said, I was from the people that were found to be faithful. He said, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He said, I was from the tribe of Benjamin. Now he said, if you don't remember, that was Jacob and Rachel. I was from good parents. They were not proselytes either. They were Hebrews. I came through the tribe that God was pleased to bless, the first king of Israel. I was from the house of David. My parents were pure, touching the law. He said, I was a Pharisee. What that held to the strictest of observance, they thought in their mind, to the law. And he said, I you talk about zeal. He said, these Christians, those that were saying that the law was not the means of salvation, he said, I was blameless before the law. And these Christians that are saying that salvation, that a man's not justified by the deeds of the law, No, he said, I tell you what, they deserve to be persecuted. They were lying on God, he said. Oh, when he came to the dictates of the law, he said, I saw myself as without blame. No blame whatsoever. But when it pleased God, the Lord crossed the path of this Pharisee. And I'm telling you, what a blessed picture that is, because by nature we're all Pharisees. We all see ourselves as those that have pleased God. He stopped Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus and exposed the error of his ways and sent him to a preacher that would preach to him and give him instruction concerning God's will. And Paul said in verse 7, after the Lord was pleased to reveal himself to me, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. All the so-called advantages of his birth, his education, all of his self-righteousness and his so-called conformity to the law, everything that he thought was gain to him concerning his salvation, everything that he trusted in, everything that he valued. Now you think about this. Now some of us here, I've told you this, some of us here, no difference. Most here came up hearing the gospel, hearing the truth. And I realize until the Lord opens our eyes, you sit under the gospel until God gives you a heart to understand it. You still don't believe it. But for some of us, it came up under false religion. I mean, these things right here, I mean, I can enter into this. Things that we trusted in. Things that we did, things that we saw ourselves as being faithful. You know, Paul says, those things which were gained to me, I counted loss. Detriments. They were detriments to me. They were loss to me. He beheld his self-righteous thoughts and actions to be nothing more than deceiving lies concerning salvation. These self-righteous works that man by nature holds dear, and they do, I'm telling you. You think, I walk down the aisle. I walk down the aisle. I prayed the sinner's prayer. I was repeating what the preacher was saying, but I mean, I prayed. I said it, you know. He told me, he said, you're saved. And I believed him. I believed him. I had given my heart to Jesus. And I trusted in that. I can go back in my mind right now. I can go back. I don't know. I was 7, 8 years old. I don't know. I was in Calvary Baptist Church. Remember just about where I was sitting, 7 years old. That was a long time ago. Walking down the aisle. There was 2 aisles. This got 1 aisle. That big church. And 2 aisles. People. Went down there and gave him my, you know. I had to go back a few times to make rededications, you know, because I stumbled. Rededicated my life. But I'm telling you, walking down that aisle and rededicating my life, getting in that baptismal pool, I remember and trusted those things. They were gain to me. Paul says, what things were gain to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss. Permitted, allowed, of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. All these things that were formerly something to me. Paul said, now I realize they were obstacles, hindrances, lies that were damaging. And all these things that he counted to be so important were nothing but detriments. And he esteemed them all lost. They're all. Now you that know him, that knows something about what I'm talking about. Now you think about this. You'll enter into this and you'll say, you know what, that's right. They were lost. They're lost. They're lost. They were hindrances to me. Hindrances. Paul realized through the revelation of God's Spirit that this loss that he experienced, these things that are lost, that was actually the from the mercy of God. It was God's mercy that these things were lost. Lost for his good. What did he lose? He lost the trust that he formerly had in himself, in his own righteousness. And he gained by the grace of God the blessings of knowing the Lord, knowing Christ, delivered by the grace of God from the bondage of the law, thinking he'd done it. That's what he just said. You think you had something to glory in? He said, I had more than you. You didn't have anything compared to me. That's what he's saying. That's how highly he thought of himself. He was delivered from what he formerly and ignorantly loved and held to, rescued. I've suffered the loss of all things. And he said, all these things. I was born a Hebrew and a Pharisee, and on and on and on. Tribe of Benjamin. He said, I count all of that but dung, that I may win Christ. But that I might gain Christ, be freed from the bondage of trusting in myself. Everything that God was pleased to take from me, I realize now. He said, I've been freed. Freed in Christ. All these things according to this life, hindrances. Now I know that there's some blessings in this life we can truly enjoy. But I'm telling you, nothing must be catered to. Religiously speaking, anything, nothing. Don't cater to anything that's a stumbling block to following him. The things that are the dearest to, the dearest friends or places of honor or whatever, they are loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Don't put anything ahead of hearing the Lord, trusting Christ. Paul was an outcast. He was a Pharisee, but now he's an outcast. When the Lord was pleased to reveal himself to him, everything that he trusted in, everybody that was his buddies and this, that, and the other, they hate him. They hate him, wanted to kill him. That's why they put him out through a window and got him. And he said, I count all those things but dregs, but worthless, detestable rubbish. You say, all that, I mean these things that we went to church and everything. Yeah, Paul said, yeah. He said, I was in church. I was a Pharisee. And I trusted in these things. I trusted in myself, my heritage. And he said, they're rubbish. Rubbish. And he said, it's anything that's a hindrance to Christ. He said, it's dung. He said in verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God. You know, I'm telling you, man by nature thinks he's righteous. Paul says the righteousness which is of God, known by faith, realized by faith, trusted in, trusting the Lord by faith. That's the language of one that's beheld something of the wretchedness of himself. It's good. It's good to be reminded what we are. The Apostle Paul had been personally taught of the Lord, by the Lord, and God's people all are too. We'll all be taught of God. I can tell you these things right here, show them in the scriptures, and I can tell you, but you know how you're going to be taught if the Spirit of God shows the Comforter himself. They bring all these things that the Lord has said. So Paul knew, as all the sheep of God do, that what he was by the grace of God. He said at verse 9, be found in him. You know, a man or woman that desires to be found in him, It's because they're in him. Because they won't think that way. They won't think that. They were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Crucified with him at Calvary. Accepted in the beloved. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That believer desires to be found in him, not having his own righteousness. This is what he desires, which is of the law. This is what a believer wants. I don't want to look. I don't want to think. He doesn't think that way because God showed him. But this, he said, not having my own righteousness. You that know him, you know what this is saying. You don't. The thought of thinking that I'm somebody before God because of what I do is repulsive. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which of is through the faith of Christ. Righteousness, which is of God. Christ, our refuge. Christ, our city of hope. Verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Vine's concordance gives a wonderful definition of the word know. As we said, that I may know him. You know, the Lord said in his high priestly prayer, this is life eternal. That they might know thee. That they might know thee. Know you. Know him, Lord. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Vine said this. He said, the word know, that I may know him, it means to be taking in knowledge, to come to know, to recognize, to understand completely, to know in the sense of realizing, to know, that I might know him. And the power of his resurrection, that is, to know something of the miracle of being raised in him, that God's accepted. That God's accepted what he did. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. That I might count it an honor if he calls me to suffer for his name's sake, because of his name's sake. That I might realize the fellowship of his sufferings and be made conformable unto his death. That is, that I might know something of the humility and willingness to take up my cross and follow him. I want you to turn, and I'm going to stop right here. I got up this morning. I told Glenda, I said, I've got three messages this morning. Two of them written down. One of them that I can't get off my mind. I want to read a passage of scripture concerning this thing of hearing the Lord, knowing the Lord, and that the importance of that. From what I preached before, preach right now. Luke 10. I may preach on this, Lord willing. Luke 10, I want to read verses 38 to 42. Luke 10:38, now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. He had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. Now, you know, when Paul was praying that I may know him, that I may know him, be found in him. But Martha, verse 40, was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Martha has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What was that one thing needful? Verse 39. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Paul prayed, desired, oh, that I may know him, that I may know him. Do you know how we're going to know the Lord? Hear his word. I cannot stress enough to myself and to you the importance of sitting under the gospel and hearing what God has to say for his glory and our good. Amen.